Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Person's heart, even when they don't realize it. People's out in the world and they're searching and trying this and that and drugs and everything they can find to have a good time, and they don't realize but what inside what they're looking for is Him. Amen. You see that I'm enjoying the song service.
Amen.
It's nothing like worshiping the Lord. Yes. It's good to have each one of you here tonight. Good to have my brother. Good to see Dylan.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate everybody coming out midweek service, and so we're just going to get into the scriptures here real quick. I would say I'm glad to see Sister Vicki. I told her Sunday, I said they call it H. pylori. I told her, I said it's Z. pylori now, because we've moved it all the way to the end of the alphabet. And I told her, I said, because there's no more letters.
Yeah.
This thing about done.
Yeah, that's right.
The doctor did say it's going to take a couple of months or something like that. And
yeah.
I said, no.
No.
So, just, you know, whenever one member of the body's not doing good, you know, we all feel it. And so, once you're part of a body, you know, you just, that just happens, you know. And so, whether you're thinking about it or not, you know that brothers and sisters really are praying for you. So, Brother Daniel and I went last night, went down to Conway to visit with a cousin of mine. He calls me uncle. There's a story behind that. I won't tell it tonight. But anyway, he's had stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it was in his jaw, moved out into his throat, around his vocal cords and stuff. And so we went down there to fellowship with him, encourage him in the Lord, and to pray with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Daniel and I think we were more refreshed than he was, you know. And so we had prayer, we're believing.
Amen.
You know, we've seen God do great things, and regardless of the fact that doctors say he's got stage 4B, whatever that is, You know, I don't find that here.
Right.
That's right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
I don't find that here.
No.
You know, we can get so caught up in our way of thinking about stuff, and if we're not careful, we're totally disregarding the Word of God.
Right.
Right.
We're not, you know, I told him, I said, we appreciate the doctors. Right, we appreciate what they can do. I appreciate the anesthesiologist that worked on me the other day while they were doing. You know, he's a very important guy. You know, but we appreciate that. But you know, there's a God who created these bodies that go much beyond. And we've got. As I told my cousin, I said the only thing I know to do is get your case before Him. And so we're believing. He actually said. He'd been coughing up blood, and he told Brother Daniel and I, he said, starting yesterday morning, he hadn't coughed up any blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so right. He said, I take that as a good sign already. And yes. So we're just going to keep believing until we have complete victory over that. And he said, there ain't I forget exactly the words, but something like there's a microphone or a loudspeaker loud enough, or a microphone loud enough for me to praise God enough,
yes,
you know, for healing him. So
that's right.
We're just going to keep believing and just ask that you keep praying and thanking the Lord for a wonderful testimony.
Amen.
Let's read Joshua chapter 1. Don't mean to keep you standing. Just apologize.
That's all right.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Should bring that up. I'm sorry, sister, I didn't give that to you. Everything's been a different... I'm out of sequence for me. I'm on vacation this week and doing different things, and I just now realized I didn't give her scriptures, so that's one strike against me. I was thinking the other day whenever Brother Elijah was singing and his sister's doing the multimedia for him, I said, you better stay on her good side. That's what I was thinking. You better stay on her good side. She might just forget to put the verses up there for you. You know, so, anyway. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I did give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer.
Amen. Amen.
There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever I goest. There's a condition there. See? This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. It's the third time there, be of courage. Mm-hmm. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. The Lord telling that because it was going to be a situation, a frightful thing, you know. It said, be of good courage. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to title this tonight, Positional Placing. And it'll probably be part one because there's no way I'll be able to get through all this. And so, Positional Placing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's pray for a moment, Lord, just to bow our hearts to you and just ask for your blessings upon this little gathering tonight. Lord, we know that you're here. We love you, and we give you preeminence tonight in this service to touch every heart, every life. Lord, to go in and answer questions that are in the hearts of your people. Lord, we don't claim to be anything except what you have called us to be and what you have granted that we can be. And so, Lord, we just wrap ourselves up in your righteousness tonight, and we express you to your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. I like that song. God is good all the time.
Amen.
Always has been. Amen. So, positional placing. So, reading there in Joshua, where it said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So we want to kind of go back and kind of set a foundation for where we're going with this. So you know that the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and they were slaves, and they had no rights. They had no, you know, they couldn't do anything unless Pharaoh allowed it. And Pharaoh had them, he was getting gain off of them. How many knows that Satan gets gain off of people who he's got in bondage?
Yeah.
And so we type in here Pharaoh as being bondage that Satan puts people in.
Right.
And so the children of Israel, they're in bondage as slaves and servants to Pharaoh with no rights. We're just bound there for forever if something didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he made sure that they were weak. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh made sure that they couldn't strengthen themselves, because when they were becoming very prosperous and lively and having, they begin to throw their children into the rivers to you know, control the numbers.
Right.
I think we see that today too, and throughout the different times and ages, where Satan will try to kill the children.
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to get at something when that happens, when he's doing that. And so they were there and they were in bondage. And of course, God raised up Moses to bring them out. The scripture said, and I want you to pay close attention to these things. The scripture said, God came to Moses and said, I have come down. to deliver my people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sending you, Moses. Mm-hmm. Now, can you go with me here? That if God did that then, could he not do it again?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That in our day, that if God wanted to come down and say, my people are in bondage, mm-hmm. and I've come down to set them free, and I'm going to send a man to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
He did it with Moses. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's a very important thing through scriptures that God never changes his patterns. He sets the patterns up the way he does things, and he never changes it.
Right.
You would think that Satan would get smart after a while and realize, oh, he's going to do it according to the pattern. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But he, you know, God has a pattern. And so we should not think it's strange in this day. I know that the hour of unbelief that is on people, it's just foreign to them that God would actually come down and absolutely change the whole world by one man.
Right.
But he did it.
Right.
He did it with Moses. And God, all it takes is one man that God is truly surrendered to God. That God can work through. God doesn't need a majority.
Right.
Yeah.
With God, he is the majority.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a whole bunch of numbers. He doesn't need great organizations and great companies of men to stand around tables and make policies. Mm-hmm. God doesn't need that. He doesn't even work in that.
Right.
He works in the Holy Spirit getting a hold of a man's life and doing things through that man. And if we want to just reject that and say, we're just cutting ourselves off from how God does things. Because he says in scriptures, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Right.
I've said this many times in the past, you know, you have singers, sports players, actors. And they're dynamic at what they do because there is a spirit they get into it. They get into anointed of a spirit that makes it. And I think even back when I played sports, times you could get into the, and it's like, man, you couldn't miss a basket.
Right.
You get into a spirit of it. See, and so if we want to navigate in the plan of God, get into the spirit of God. Right? And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we can't even know the things of God unless God's Spirit is revealing it to us.
Right.
We can't even know it. Go read it. You can't intellectually figure God out. Because
right.
Yeah.
It says right there, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Right? Hadn't even entered into our hearts. It's not saying you can't know it. It's just saying that man's not revealed it to you.
Yeah.
We haven't sat around and figured this out. Because the scripture goes on to say, but he hath revealed it to us.
Right, yeah.
See, if you want to know the things of God, you've got to get into the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't, I know my wife can testify, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I mean, I studied and I wanted to know. And I will tell you, I studied and studied and studied, and I thought that I had arrived at putting this scripture with that scripture, and I thought I had arrived at some answers, and come to find out they were wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything that I could just put together I doubt anybody that I would know that was anywhere close to as sincere as I was and wanting to know the truth of these scriptures. And I missed it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you can't do these things in yourself. I remember the story Brother Bram told about being lost in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
In the Adirondack Mountains. I believe that's the way you say that. He was on what the Indians call a dead man's walk.
Yep.
And you know, anytime you get high confidence in yourself, you're going to fall.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's like, I'm a hunter. I'm a good guy. I'm a hunting guide. And, you know, I'm up here. And you know, he got there early. The cabin was locked. His wife was there. Baby was there. He went out hunting, left them there, and got lost. And they would. His wife and child was going to freeze to death that night because they weren't inside a cabin.
Right.
And he got lost. And he needs some humbling.
Yeah.
Because he thought, I know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And he gets out there, and he's trying to make it back, and he's walking in a circle. And he tries it over and over and over. And I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna take all that's in me and all my skills of being a guide and knowing my way around the woods. And I'm gonna do all these things. And he'd do his best and thinking, oh yeah, I'm doing it. And come right back to the deer that he had shot and was hung up in a tree. And kept coming right back to that. And he knew he was lost.
That's right.
And you know, you go insane. People go insane when they think they know what they're doing and they find out they're not.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, this we've talked about this story there when he's like, finally he gets down and he says, God, I am so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid, so arrogant. I don't remember the words. I need your help. I'm not a good guy. I don't know my way around. And that's what I'm saying. When we get to the place where we think we know, we don't know.
Right.
Scripture says it.
Mm-hmm.
Any man that thinks he don't know nothing at all.
Right. Yeah.
Because the only position that we can be in that's right,
mm-hmm,
is a position of total humility before God.
Right.
To let him lead us and guide us. And by no means at any point ever that we ever can have anything to boast in.
Right.
Only just in him.
Okay.
That's it. That's what,
yeah,
Paul told us. And so, these children of Israel, they're down there, getting back to my text, they're down there in bondage, and God raises up Moses to bring them out. And to bring them into the promised land. And so, we know the story of what happened when Moses, again, got arrogant. He got off and smote the rock twice instead of speaking to it,
right,
the second time when he was supposed to speak to it. And so God said, you can't go through the promised land. So Moses died. And this is where we read the scriptures there. Moses, my servant, is dead.
Right.
Now Moses had brought them out. They had come out of Egypt. They were no longer under Pharaoh. They were in this journey, but they couldn't go on into the promised land because of things that they did, and Moses couldn't go because of what he did. So they died out, a bunch of them. Moses died, and then God raised up Joshua to go ahead and take him into the promised land. So we must understand that after all that, you can see that the ministry of Moses just himself, which is law, the law of Moses, do's and don'ts, cannot put you in the promised land, cannot put you where God wants you.
Right.
Can't do it. But God has a ministry that can, and it was Joshua. And Joshua is the same word as Jesus.
Right.
Jehovah Savior. So in the Old Testament, when the law could not save them, it could get them out of bondage, but it couldn't actually get them into the promised land. But God had another ministry that could, and it was in the Old Testament, it was Jesus.
Right.
Jesus, he raised up Jesus, and so Jesus can now get you where God wants you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Moses brought him out, but Joshua took him in. And that place that he was taking them to was their God-given, ordained position in the land of Israel. In other words, all of those tribes, there were specific places in the land of Israel where every one of those tribes were to go. You know when them women was birthing those 12 patriarchs, and they'd cry out the name in birth pains, and they would, and God was in it because they'd Ephraim cry out that name, Ephraim or Manasseh, and that would That name that hit that child, there was a nature of that child, there was a name to that child, and there corresponded to that name and that nature a specific spot over there in that promised land where they were going to be by a predestination that God had for them, and that child and his offspring under that name was going to have a certain spot in that land that was going to be where they lived and could prosper and be ever and just flourish right there in that spot. So that it was a promised land. Not just promised to Abraham, but it was absolutely already mapped out in God's mind which of those 12 tribes were going to live where. And prosper. Moses couldn't make that happen. Moses, let me put it this way. Moses could preach to you, bring you under conviction, make you know that you've been in bondage, and maybe even get you to pray at the altar and feel like you're free from your sins and stuff. And maybe get you that far. But brother, sister, it takes more than that.
Right.
There is a God-anointed place for you. In natural Israel, it was land.
Right.
Which is a natural type for us as a life of overcoming power in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
For us, every one of us have a God-given position where we belong in the body of Christ, doing a certain thing, ministering to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And Moses can't get you there.
Right.
Yeah.
Just preaching and getting you in conviction
right.
can't get you there. It takes another kind of ministry. And it is the ministry of Joshua that is more than just bringing you out. It's Joshua had to continue on with what Moses had. Oh, we read that. Make sure that you obey that. But Joshua would take them on in. And as we read, Joshua's responsibility was to give to each of those tribes their place. To say, here's your spot. Now you go live there. Positionally placing them where they were to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I want to keep in mind that as we talk about this natural Israel, we're talking about us.
Right.
Because listen, brother, sister, no matter what we read here, it's got to come down to our walk today.
Right.
It's got to do something for us. And the scripture tells us these things were written for our admonition. So that we would know.
Right.
And so this is a type, these things are a type of our life in the Holy Ghost, finding our position in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in that spot, Satan can't whip you.
That's right.
Right.
You'll find that when God gave that land to Abraham, and as long as Abraham was there, he was fine. But when he got out of there, that's when he got in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's a type. That we are to be in Christ Jesus. We are to have an experience in the Holy Ghost. And as long as we stay in that experience, we will be victorious on any enemy that tries to come.
Right.
Why? Because you're in a place that God predestinated for you to have.
Right.
And that's what he did to them. So the book of Ephesians is a New Testament Joshua.
Right.
The book of Ephesians is very pivotal in placing us. It will tell us things that we need to know that'll put us where we make sure that we're in the right place in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Because, you know, if you don't know, if you say you were somebody in children of Israel, like, well, I don't know if this is my land or not. Well, if you don't know if it's yours, then you don't know whether you can plant and prosper, build a house, grow. You don't know. You've got to know who you are.
Right.
You've got to know who you are, not just something you've decided, but something God has revealed to you that this is where I'm to be.
Right.
And when that happens, then you can stand there and nothing will defeat you.
Right.
As long as you're where God puts you.
Right.
These things are real.
Sure.
And so, when we go, as we go through this, however many parts of this is, and we're going to talk about Ephesians there, I want you to remember that there are things written right there in Ephesians that once you catch what it's saying, it will positionally place you.
Yeah.
It'll do what Joshua did in the Old Testament.
Right.
You know, in the book of Galatians, I didn't bring it up, but you're familiar with it there in the book of Galatians. It says Paul is dealing with the Galatians there that had wanted to go back and live under the law, and he said, you that want to go back under the law, it says, don't you hear what the law is saying? And Paul begins to rehearse the situation that happened with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. You remember Abraham, when he got backslid, when he got out of his land and he got down into Egypt, and Pharaoh tried to take his wife, and that God wouldn't allow that because the promise was to Abraham and Sarah. So God wasn't going to let some Pharaoh have Sarah. So God plagued Pharaoh, made Pharaoh let him go, and in the process, Abraham got this, when Sarah came out, she got this handmaiden called Hagar. Right? Later on down the road, when Sarah didn't have quite the faith that, you know, at the time, she decided, Abraham, you're going to have a son, but it can't be by me, so take my handmaiden. Mm-hmm. And so Abraham goes and produces an Ishmael.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. A wild man. That's why you have all the wars you have over there today in the Middle East, because it's Ishmael. He was pronounced there to have a nature, and it's still, all of his offspring's got it.
Right.
And so, but here's the thing. The promised child to come was through from Abraham and Sarah. The promise was through Sarah. Mm-hmm. For her to give child to that promised son. But because of unbelief or whatever, and Abraham getting Hagar, now Abraham's got another son, but it wasn't by promise. The child that Sarah had was by promise. But this one by Hagar was not by promise. Hagar was the bondwoman. She was a slave. Sarah wasn't. So Paul is saying to the people who want to live under the law of Moses and try and keep the customs of be like Jews or whatever, and he's like, if you want to live under the law, don't you hear what the law is saying? And he goes and he says, look, it's written in the scriptures there that Abraham had two sons, one by a free woman, one by a bondwoman.
Right.
And he said, the bondwoman and the child of that bondwoman versus the free woman and that son, that bondwoman and her son, he said, these things are an allegory. Mm-hmm. Paul is saying that he's instructing the Galatians, listen, conduct your life accordingly. And he's telling them, go back and look at the lives that people live. I talked a while ago about God doing stuff through men. Go back and look at the lives that Sarah lived, and that Hagar, and Egyptian, and Abraham, and all that unfolded, and the way it unfolded was a prophecy and a pattern. And Paul is trying to tell people, you want to live under the law, what you're trying to do is you're trying to be that Hagar with that bondwoman who's not free, and that son that she bears that's a wild man.
Right.
And he says, this bondwoman and her child, this is the Jerusalem, which now is, which was the physical Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But he said, the one by free is the mother of us all. That's New Jerusalem.
Right.
And so he shows there that the Jewish customs of the law in Jerusalem in the natural was a bondage situation but there's a promise that God brought forth and through that's the mother of us all. That's New Jerusalem. That's where it lays. So Paul lays that out there and says, and the scriptures said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. She will not be heir. He will not be heir with the free. So right there, Paul's letting you know, listen, Jewish custom, Jewish law is never going to rule and reign.
Right.
And if we try to live like that, not just that, but if we try to live legalism, it'll never reign.
Right.
But it comes through the free. It comes through promise.
Right.
So back to what I said, to have the promised land. The only way you'll be successful is by promise.
Right. Yeah.
Not by works, not by trying, not by the, by letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and place you, then you'll be fortified. You'll be in a spot where you can prosper.
Right.
So I said all that to say this, that God is saying, look at these things that were lived. They are prophecies, they are patterns, and they apply to this day. And it's the same thing. When we look at these scriptures, how does that come down to our day?
Right.
Because these things matter. They're patterns, and once we get where we're to be, we'll be in the same patterns.
Right.
Following the same way. So, you know, I've mentioned it many times. I think I mentioned it over the weekend that you know, we don't want to be like Esau.
Right.
The scripture said that Esau sold his birthright. And he sold it for a bowl of lentils.
Right.
Came in from hunting. He was hungry. And Jacob had these lentils or whatever made. He was hungry and wanted something. And he sold his birthright. Now understand what we're saying. There was a place for Esau that was going to be his. And he should have had great respect for that was going to be his inheritance coming from his father, right down to him, and should have had great respect for that. But he did not esteem it. So he esteemed it so little that he sold it for a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
And so what you find out is the promised word of God for us in this day. This promised word is our inheritance.
Right. Yes.
This is what God has said you can have.
Yes, sir.
And we've got to have great respect for it.
That's right.
And if God says, I come down and I'm doing it through a man, we've got to recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if God says, you can't know the things of God except by the Spirit of God, then we've got to recognize that. And all these truths, every one of these truths is our birthright. You've got to believe it, accept it, and go with it. And not try to be doing something else. Not try to intellectually find your way through the gospel or whatever. But let the Holy Ghost move upon you.
Right.
And so you must have respect for that. And that means living by it, believing it, teaching it, living it, loving it. And so if we do that, then that's our birthright. But Esau sold out that truth. That future, he sold out his future. Mm-hmm. Not just him, but his offspring.
Right.
Sold it out for a bowl of soup, a bowl of pottage. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me what people will give up this gospel for. It's just for something that is absolute lies.
Yeah.
The best thing that Satan can give you, you might have riches. You know, he tried to give things to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is the God of this earth because of the fall, until God takes it back over. So Satan can give you an anointing. He can make you sing like angels.
Sure.
Yeah.
He can give you riches. He can give you prosperity and women, if you're a man or whatever, he can give you all that.
Yeah.
But what do you have to give up to have it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, here it is. We don't want to be like Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And sell out our birthright, our future, of the blessings of God for worldly things or things that are temporal,
right,
that aren't going to last. I mean, God knows, he knows that we're flesh. He knows. And he wants us to have a good time. I believe God wants us to enjoy our journey in this life.
Sure.
But that does not mean dabbling in ungodly stuff.
No, sir. Yeah.
That does not mean that.
Yeah.
You listen, I've been on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like out there. And I can tell you, I'm on this side of the fence now, and I can tell you, it's much better to be able to lay your head down at night without condemnation.
Yes.
And know that you've lived right and you've done right.
Yeah.
But Satan somehow tricks people into believing that that's a better road. And it's broad way. And many go therein. But it's a narrow way.
Mm-hmm.
We should always remind ourselves of it. Go back and remind yourself of these scriptures that you know what? I mean, I should get up every day and say, you know what? What Satan would like to offer me today is a broad way.
Mm-hmm.
He would love, I can go this way or that way or that way or that way. I mean, there's millions of ways that Satan would like for me to live.
Yeah.
But there's only one way. That leads to life.
Right.
Only one. That's what the scriptures tell us. Because it only takes one word for the fall.
Yep.
Only one word. You'll not die. What's the serpent told Eve. We want to remember that these things are our birthright and hold them in high regard and not sell them out for other things. And so, the land was a promised land, and it was a land of promise from God.
Right.
And if God ever promises something, who's going to come along and nullify that? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize what God wants to give you that we must have high esteem for. You know, the place he's got there, you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But realize there's a place that he wants you to have. And so, who's going to turn around and say you can't have that? If God has given that to you, who's going to tell you you can't? Pharaoh tried to say, no, you ain't going. Right? He tried to tell him, you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
And God showed him, you are going. You have to realize that if we will endeavor to live for God, he will destroy Egypt to make sure you can serve him.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold on to that truth of God's word, he will destroy kingdoms if he has to make sure that those kingdoms do not hold you back and that you can go. That means your flesh, that means your bosses, your friends, your money, whatever it is, what kingdom's trying to hold you, he'll make sure that lets you go if you really want to seek him and follow after his truth.
That's right.
And go to the promise
yeah.
that he's given. Because it's a promise he has given.
Right.
And so, if God gives you a promise, can he bring it to pass?
Yeah.
Absolutely, he can bring it to pass. No question about it. And so, in that promise there, the promised land, was everything they would ever need. You know, I've said many times, you know, the scripture says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you think about all the things that would have to be in place for that land to be flowing with milk and honey, it pretty much meant they had everything there was.
Yeah.
Rain, fertile land, you name it. God condenses his truths. God can take great truths of his kingdom and bring them down and condense them into one little phrase that if you open that one phrase up, it brings out a whole huge economy of God to look at. And that's one of them. He could have said, I'll bring you to a landscape first. It's going to have rain. You're going to have this seasons, all this, and there's going to be these flowers. And he could just went on and on and on and did volumes of books describing what this land was going to have. But he condensed it all down by saying this, I'm going to bring you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey.
Right.
And when we're talking about this placing, positionally placing, I'm telling you that in your spiritual walk, God has a place for you that's flowing with milk and honey.
Right.
That he wants you to go to. Amen. But you can't stay in Egypt and be in that land. And you can't even stay in a wilderness journey, wandering around after you've left Egypt but not go in. So we need to give attention to these things in our life to make sure that we truly have come out of Egypt, right? The word truly is working in our life. But then also that we're not just walking around and never growing, never coming to that place. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at those things. Because these were patterns in the scripture. This is what happened. Because of unbelief, they just kind of wandered around there, and all of them, a bunch of them had to die off until they could go over.
Yeah.
And so we want this promised land, and so everything we would need would be there, and God has that for you. And so, you know, we're made in God's image, right?
Yeah.
So I think about this, well, you know, I have love, compassion, I have, so God must too, right? I want a wife, you know, a companion. So he wanted a companion, you see? And so because we have the emotion and there's things that we would want in life that would make us a fulfilled life. And it's the things that would satisfy what God put in us that's like him. We have a nature like him, and we have desires, and we have a desire for children and all those things. And so when God created this promised land or this promised experience, you must know that over there, all of your desires, all of what God put in you that's like him, all of those things can be met when you go there,
right,
in that promised land. And so we just thank the Lord for that. That promised land is not Egypt. Think about it. What you learn in Egypt, what you eat there, what you spend your time doing, the fact that you're in bondage, whips, pain, sorrow, disappointments, mm-hmm, all those things, that's Egypt.
Yeah.
But this over here is not Egypt. You're not going to hear the same things that Egypt tells you. You're not going to get to do the things that Egypt has you doing that keeps you in bondage.
Right.
You got to understand, when you're under Pharaoh, the whole system is designed to for him to get rich off of you and keep you down.
Right.
So you're a slave. Mm-hmm. So there's things you learn, and you know, you just kind of get used to it. And we know that people get used to those things because in the scriptures, when they got out into the journey and things got tough, they're like, well, would to God we were back in Egypt.
Right.
Really? Back there where you were under bondage and Pharaoh was beating you and you was a slave and all that, and you want to go back to that? And it just goes to show you the mentality of people, that how tricky and subverted things could be, that people could be enslaved and be in bondage and think it's better. And it's not. Because
right,
they're thinking the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is great. Egypt rules the world. I'm gonna be part of this, you know, and whatever. So, over here, you don't think like that. You don't act that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different thought. Different action. It's a different spirit. It's a freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom to be what God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never have the freedoms in God as long as you're in bondage.
Right.
But you will have it over there. You won't have the pain and the sorrow and bondage and things that Egypt puts upon you when you go to the promised land. But as I said just a minute ago, you can't be in Egypt and be in that promised land. And you can't even be in the journey on the way and be in the promised land.
Right.
You really have to be able to move on. And so you realize that these children of Israel were there in Egypt, and Egypt's getting rich, and God's like, no, I'm going to take them out. So you realize Egypt's not going to be happy. The world system's not going to be happy with you if you try to serve God. The world's going to try and hold you back. It's not going to be happy.
Right.
And they're going to bow up,
yeah,
and try to make you stay. They send things to trick you and all kinds of things to confuse you, whatever, so that you won't. This is the way that it works, and so Egypt's not going to be happy when you start trying to come out. But as I said a while ago, God will destroy kingdoms if he has to.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to serve him, there's nothing that can stop you from serving God and becoming what he wants you to be.
Right.
And in that land, you can lay down at night knowing, hey, I'm right where God put me.
Right now.
And there's no worries. Enemies will come, sure. But God's promise will defeat every one of them.
Yeah.
But you can't say that when you're over here in Egypt. And I've said this a lot lately, you know, people, you are where you are because of decisions you've made, right? And so I've been saying a lot lately, how's that going for you? How's that working out? Oh, you know, I've got the world by the... Do you? Can you lay yourself down at night with peace in your heart and knowing that you've done what's right? Think about it. Oh, sin is so beautiful, right? Sin is beautiful. Scriptures tell us that. But it's deadly. Yeah. So you see, when children of Israel were there in bondage, God had to move.
Right.
And God did. Yeah. And when God moved, what did he do? All he did was fulfill his promised word. Coming all the way back, I'm fixing to stop. I'm not going to go any further here, but going back to my original thing, all God did when the time came for them to be taken out because of promise, he said, you'll be in that strange land for 400 years, and afterwards I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand. When that time came, there rose a cry in the hearts of the people that matched what God was fixing to do. So God's going to do something in our day, then there would be a cry for it, so that when he does it, there's a hunger in the people to catch what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what happened. Cry began to happen there in those children of Israel when God was here. And so when that time came, God had to do it. And he did. But what did he do? He just simply did what he already said he was going to do. And I want you to remember that. That in our day, right now, what will set us free from all the bondages of this world is a move of God that God said he was going to do.
Right.
That's all he's doing, is fulfilling his word. And you'll find that as God's doing it, there is a cry in the heart of the people for it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And that makes all the difference in the world. God works on both ends.
That's right.
Right? We know that. And so, God moved when that time came. And when he moved, it's called an exodus. We call that exodus. And I want to ask you this question, and I'll leave this with you. How did the exodus start? You say, well, it actually started back in the mind of God before the world was, because he knew. It actually started when he told Abraham, yeah, I'll bring him out with a mighty hand. You can say that. But when it come right down to time, how did this exodus start? And it started when the angel of the Lord, a pillar of fire, visited a man.
Yeah.
And said, you're being commissioned to go. And I'm going to do through you what I said I was going to do. I've come down to do what I promised to do, but I have to do it through a man.
Yeah.
And I'm sending you. And God showed himself to be with that man. And do the mighty things that he did through that man. It won't be any different. God works through man. Amen? God works through man. We go, oh, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. God's going to move through the whole entire church. Everybody. But that's not what the pattern shows. Pattern shows that God will anoint one man. And that he will, what he'll do through that man will go to the rest.
Right?
Right? And so that's what he did. Look, Jesus Christ came and the whole entire New Testament underneath that one man.
Right.
And through all the ages, every one of those seven church ages, an anointed messenger for each one of those ages that God would speak to, and became a movement of God bringing great deliverance to the people in each of those days. It's no different now. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's just bow our hearts together as we get ready to close. You know, as a minister, you could go on and on and on. But Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you. We're so glad today, Lord, that your word speaks. And we know that you can speak. We know that you know how to write. You knelt down and you wrote into the dirt one time. And we know that you can speak, Lord. Not just in the letter of your word, but through your Holy Spirit. You can go out and through the ministry of your word, the Holy Spirit can speak to the hearts of your people and help and guide them. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as your word has gone forth, knowing that you live in your word and you deal with people through your word. Lord, so I know that hearts have been touched. I know that people are thinking and meditating, and that you're dealing with their hearts on the things they've heard tonight. And I just pray, God, for a double measure of grace there for them. Lord, that they won't cast it to the side and just dismiss it, but they'll ponder on it. And even go to you in prayer and say, God, can you show me this? And I know that, Lord, through a sincere heart, as they come to you and make a step towards you, you will come and take a step in their direction too. We ask, God, that you would just touch each one in that way. As we go from this place tonight, we just ask, God, that your mercies would be with each one. Ask it in Jesus' name.
See you.